All right, let's get going. Are you ready? You need to stick with me because we're going to go through a lot of scripture. Is that all right? You're not going to hear my opinion. You're going to hear the scripture today. That's what you came here, right? But I really believe the Holy Spirit is going to touch all of you. This is a message for everyone. Tell the person next to you, this is for you. Everybody will find themselves in this message. All right. Let me just start. This is preamble. Have you ever met someone, or you've heard the term, living vicariously through someone else, or in proxy? You know, many times parents do it through their children. You know, you see that dad running down the sidelines of the soccer field, and it's like, come on, kick him! And he wanted to be a great soccer player, football player, so now he's living through, his son or something like that. Well, I just want to tell you that God wants to express himself through us. He wants to live vicariously through you. Amen? He wants to show himself to the people. Jesus said, if anyone's seen me, you've seen the Father. Amen? And when we are filled with the Holy Spirit, then we begin to reflect God to the people. And he begins to live through us. And it begins to, in some ways. So I want to just give you a quick summary. There's two ways that happens. Number one, it happens to by knowing and living his precepts. Okay? What does that mean? We learn the word. This is what we're trained as children to do the right thing and to be the right person. To do the right thing and to be the right person. So we learn the scriptures. Okay? I'm not going to get into the scriptures all the way through. But it's basically we're going to grow in wisdom. The Bible says that to fear the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Okay? Another place it says that, to abhor evil is to fear the Lord. So if you put those two and two together, it just means that, we begin, if we hate what God hates and we love that God loves, then he's expressing himself through us. Amen? So that's why we as parents, we have to train our children in the right way to go. The Bible says train the child in his ways, and even when he grows old, he will not depart from it. Amen? It's so important. So it's spiritually the same. Most of our life has to do with growing in wisdom. Everybody say wisdom. So the first thing has to do with wisdom. Grow in wisdom. Amen? But then the other part of it is living by the Spirit. God wants to express himself by living by the Spirit. Okay, this comes later. As you are faithful, with God's precepts, with God's words, with God's commandments, with, all those, laws and statutes that the Word tells us. Look at the book of Proverbs. It's full of things that we need to apply to our lives. Simple little things. And as you apply them, you begin to love what God loves, hate what God hates. Amen? But then this next level says, hey, if you've been faithful with that, I'm going to entrust you with a GPS-like type of expression. I'm going to lead you by my Spirit by faith. So first, we grow in wisdom. And second, we grow in faith. Everybody say faith. We grow in wisdom, we grow in faith. So John 8:28 basically says, I do what we see the Father do, and it says that we hear what hear him say. Amen? Now you're really expressing God, And how many of you have been there? You go in some place and God will just say to you, hey, talk to that person, and love on them. Or, listen to them, or serve them, or give them some money, that's what I'm talking about. You're just expressing God almost like GPS-like qualities, turn by turn, go here, go there. Amen? You got to be faithful with the wisdom part, and then God begins to use you more in the faith part. Okay? How many of you want to be an expression of God in this community? So let's grow in wisdom. We have to add knowledge to our faith, says the scripture. Okay, so having said that, we have to be filled with the Spirit. In the manner that we're filled with the Spirit, we become a greater expression of God in the community. Are we good with that? So to do that, I want to talk to you about the three key baptisms. Three key baptisms, which is the title of this message. Okay, there are three key baptisms that everyone in this room must have. We good so far? All right, let's talk about them. Because today we had a day of baptisms. One of them, we center around today. But I want to talk to you about all three of them, all right? So let's look at the next one, okay? First of all, the Holy Spirit baptizes us into Jesus or into Jesus' body. Now, we don't use this term so much as baptism. We have another word for it, but we're going to get there in just a second. Just follow with me. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. It says, "For we were all baptized by one spirit so as to form one body." That's also what we said. We're baptized into Jesus. When you repent of your sins and you believe that Jesus is your Lord and Savior and you are saved, right, then you are immersed into the body of Christ. You become a part of the body of Christ. John 1 says, to all those who believe, he gave us the power to become the sons of God. That's gender neutral. Okay, sons or daughters of God. Okay? I know women are like, Women have a hard time with, being a son. But hey, we have a hard time becoming the bride of Christ too. So, we all have a little bit of trouble understanding those concepts. But God has concepts for everybody, okay? All right. Look at this other scripture, Galatians 3:27. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. He's covered you by his work at the cross. Amen? You were baptized. So this is the first baptism that we need to talk about. In other words, you were allowed to come inside the body of Christ. Okay, baptism comes from the word, Greek word baptizo, which means to submerge. It also means to cleanse. And it also means to overwhelm. That's why we can use this word in the three different ways. Amen? To submerge, to cleanse, and to overwhelm. Okay? In theological terms, it is the Spirit that convicts the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. That's what Jesus says. So the Holy Spirit opens our eyes to who God is, to God the Father, and who Jesus is, God the Son. All right? Jesus said no one can come to the Father unless you're first drawn. So it's not like, a lot of times we sing songs, I found Jesus. Well, to a certain degree, yes, you responded to Jesus, but really he found you. Or he reached out to you. How many people would read the scriptures before they were saved and they didn't understand the thing they were reading? Anybody ever been there? Maybe you were in that place. You're like, I opened the scriptures, it just doesn't make any sense to them. It's because the Spirit of God has to, reveal it to you. Amen? Your eyes have to be in line, have to be open to the truth. Amen? So that's the first work of the Spirit. He baptizes us into the body of Christ. Amen? If you were saved, you've been baptized into the body. You were baptized into Jesus. Amen? All right? The second way we're baptized is the disciple baptizes us in water. Today's disciple was Jerry Norris. Amen? He was the disciple that baptized the people. Hey, let me tell you something. Sometimes we make a huge deal about this, but the Bible tells us it wasn't Jesus who baptized the people that were following him. Right? John 4:2 says, it says, although in fact it was not Jesus who baptized, but his disciples. It was his disciples that did the baptisms. Let me tell you, a father can baptize his son. A believer can baptize his son. Of course, we love to do it here in front of everybody because it's a testimony to everybody. But, we always need to follow the truth, and to wherever it takes us. Amen? All right. So Matthew 28:19 is where we see this. Jesus commanded, we know this is the Great Commission, therefore go and make disciples of all the nations. And then he said, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And so today, many of you followed in this baptism, which is a form of obedience. Amen? And you were baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Okay? Baptism by water is a punctuation, boom, drop the mic kind of thing. A sealing work which is directly connected to salvation. And listen to this. It cuts off the old you. It cuts off the old you. Baptism says to you and everyone, that which I did in my heart is represented by baptism. So what happened internally in your heart? God tells us to do it. Let's do it in this very external way. But it's not just external. It's very spiritual. There's a spiritual component to what happens there in the water. Amen? There's a sealing work because God wants us all to be baptized in the three ways. Okay? So just like Jesus died on the cross, you're saying by going in the water, I'm dying to self. Your old you is buried in, you know, the old life is buried there, the old desires, the old sins, and now you come up cleansed, and through the resurrecting power of Jesus, you come out to the new life in Jesus. Amen? So everyone here should follow into the water of baptism. And if you have not done so, then all you need to do is just speak up, and we'll make sure that we do it. One of the, you know, persons that was supposed to get baptized today was sick, so we're going to have baptisms again. I could have them every Sunday. You know, wouldn't it be awesome if we had them every Sunday? You know? You can get baptized the day you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You don't have to wait years. You don't have to go to a class, you know. That's just a follow-up step of saying, yes, I'm sold out. I'm going all the way. I want to leave the old person there, and I want to come out, you know, to a new life in Jesus. Amen? Excellent. I feel like I'm missing a scripture here. Did we read Romans 6, 3 and 4? We did not. Listen to this. It says, or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. Amen? So I applaud everyone that went into the water baptism today, coming out to the new life. It's a big, and God is very pleased. Amen? Hallelujah. You're now a clean vessel for the Lord. You're now a clean vessel. Everybody say vessel. The vessel is clean. All right? So then the last way we're baptized, Jesus baptizes us in, and in the Greek it can be in or with. It's that particular, okay, where are my grammar people? What would that be, in or with? It would be a preposition. Thank you. I lost the word, a preposition. With the Holy Spirit. So, and this is where much of the focus of this message is going to go into. Because this is the one that's most misunderstood of the three. However, I'm going to show you from the scriptures how important it is and why it is one of the three key baptisms. Amen? So, let's go through the scriptures. And we're going to start with the Gospels. You guys know that there's four main Gospels or kind of biographies of Jesus, the good news of the life of Jesus, right? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The first three is what we call the Synoptic Gospels, okay? And in Synoptic Gospel, the new meaning they've given us is an account of the events from the same point of view or under the same general aspect. So if you look at Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they're pretty much parallel, you know, accounts of Jesus. They refer to very much the same stories. And then most of them, they show the birth, right? The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. But they start at the third year of his ministry, roughly. Okay? John is different from all of them. John is different. Okay? He pretty much covers, you know, from the beginning, you know, of his ministry to the end. That's why we see things like the you know, when he turned water into wine at Cana, you know, healing, you know, the blind, and then the woman at the well. You know, there's all those little stories that we see from earlier in his ministry that we don't have in the other three. Amen? John did say, hey, if I were to put all the stories of Jesus, there wouldn't be enough volumes to fill them. Okay? So, but I'm glad that they're there, the ones that they put in there. Okay? So, however, there's another thing which is mentioned in all four of the Gospels and goes right into the book of Acts. And that is the baptism into the Holy Spirit or with the Holy Spirit. Amen? Everybody tracking? Well, you're like, I'm a little skeptical. That's okay because I'm going to show you all the scriptures that talk about it. And in the first three books, it's pretty much the same scripture. Matthew 3:14 says, but John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? It says, actually, I missed it. Can you go to 3:15? I'm sorry, I missed that. Okay? Or because I give you the wrong scripture. I'm going to have to pull out my Bible. All right. Because this is important, people. You got to go to the Word. It's not Eric's opinion. Verse 15 says, and let it be so now, it is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. Then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was open, and he saw the Spirit of God descend him like a dove and on him. Actually, I'm looking at the wrong scripture. Is it 3:11? Yes. Sorry, it was 3:11. I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me will come one who is more powerful than I. It says, whose sandals I am not fit to carry. This is John the Baptist speaking. Listen, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Holy Spirit and with fire. Okay, so now Jesus is saying, I'm going to baptize you. First, the Holy Spirit was doing the baptisms. Now that Jesus is doing the baptisms of the Holy Spirit. Mark 1:8, I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Luke 3:16, John answered them all, I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I will come, the straps whose sandals I'm not worthy to untie, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Are we seeing this? All right, that's the first three gospels, the synoptic gospels. Let's look at the fourth one, John chapter 1, verses 32 and 33. This reads a little different, but it gets to the same place. It says, then John gave this testimony, I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. As a dove. It is, the Holy Spirit is not a dove. Okay? All right? As a dove. Okay? And I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, the man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is the one who will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. All right? And then if we go right into, you know, Acts chapter 1, it says, hey, you will be baptized, you know, with the Holy Spirit. And then you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. You see how important that is. So you got to have the three baptisms. Now, this is very important because in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit would descend on people temporarily. Okay? A good example of that was Saul. King Saul. The Bible says the Holy Spirit came upon him, and he says he was amongst the prophets, and he prophesied with them, and it says he was turned into another man. You know, but then he did some bad stuff, and then the Holy Spirit left him. David, when he sinned, Psalm 51, what did he say? Do not take away your Holy Spirit from me. He's like, I know I've messed up, but don't take away your Holy Spirit from me. Amen? But now, Jesus said, I have to go. I have to go. It is important that I go to heaven because after I go, I'm going to now be able to baptize you. And the way I was filled with the Holy Spirit, you're going to be able to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And you will be able to make an impact in the society. You're going to be able to make an impact in the community. Without the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we're just a cleansed vessel, but we lack the power. So let's look at the life of Jesus as another example. Did he need the three? He needed two of the three. Did he need to be saved? No. The Bible says that we have to be born again. John chapter 3. This is not a term that we came up with. Jesus said this. You have to be born again. He was talking to Nicodemus. Right? But to be born again means that you had a bad nature and you need a new nature. Jesus had the right nature from the beginning. So he did not need to be saved. Okay, that's the only part he didn't. However, he says, I have to fulfill all the scriptures and all the law, and he went into the water of baptisms. And as soon as he did, it says that the Holy Spirit came upon him. Yes, like a dove. Amen. See, before that, he was a son of to Joseph and Mary. I'm sure he was a great guy. He didn't have the fallen nature that we have. He never sinned. However, you notice he never started his ministry. He didn't do anything ministry-wise until he was baptized in water, and he was filled with the Holy Spirit, and bam, it kicks off his ministry. Are you seeing this? So we all need the three baptisms just like Jesus. If Jesus needed the Holy Spirit to come on him and be anointed with the Holy Spirit, then we need it too. As we always say, if it was good enough for Jesus, it's good enough for us. Amen? All right, so let's summarize, you know, this three, you know, baptisms with three words. Salvation, water, spirit. You need to be saved, you need to be baptized in water, and spirit. Those are the words that we more normally associate with these three concepts. Are you following with me?
Yes.
All right, so you're with me. Let's keep on going. Now we're going to look at some other places in the New Testament where we see this in action. Okay. Once again, look at the authority of the scriptures. It's important. We have to renew our mind because there are some people out there that are teaching, you know, this wrong. Okay? You have to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Okay? So, let's start with Acts chapter 2, verses 37 to 39. Peter had just preached for the first time. Thousands of people, as after, you know, they came out of the upper room, says it was filled with the Holy Spirit, like tongues of fire, you know, were on them, and they were speaking in diverse tongues that people could understand, and that they were in awe. That was a sign and a wonder to the people, right? And then he began to preach to them, hey, because they're like, I think those guys are drunk. He says, no, we're not drunk. You know, we've been filled with the Holy Spirit, what he had promised through the prophet Joel, you know, and he goes through all this message, and eventually he says, you need to repent, right? And it says that they were cut through the heart. But let's read this. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and to the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? Peter replied, look at these words. Repent, salvation, and be baptized, water, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Okay? And let me just say, number one, it was promised by Jesus and by the prophets. And second, it is a gift. The Holy Spirit is a gift. And when you have the gift of the Holy Spirit, all the other gifts come along. Okay? Now, God does not manifest or express himself through all of them, at all, you know, through everyone at all times, but he can. Everybody here can move in miracles, faith, wisdom, you know, speaking in tongues, you know, interpretation of tongues and miracles and all the nine gifts of the Spirit, right? But it's one gift, one gift. You get one, you get them all. They're all in there, and the Holy Spirit can use them and draw them as he needs you, okay? And that's why if you're here for the first time, we prize the presence of God. We can't just sing songs, have a message, and go home. We have to allow God to be God in this place. We prize the Holy Spirit. If he's not here, then something's missing. Might as well just go home. Go, you know, go eat lunch or something. You know, we want to be where God is. Because where God is, we are changed. You know, there's freedom. Our lives are changed. There's hope. Something just seeps into us when we're in his presence. And we live with hope. I see Shiloh. We're all moving with a skip in our step. There's a level of freedom and activity and expectation of what God is doing here. And I talk to many of you. You're coming up to me. God is doing this in my family. God is doing this with my friends. You know, this happened in my workplace. You know, I got healed from this. You know, there's just a sense of expectation. Why? Because we're giving room to the Spirit of God in this place. We have to. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's look at Acts chapter 8, verses 12 through 14, and we're going to see this again. Okay, they found some disciples, you know, and it says, but when they believed Philip, as he proclaimed the good news of the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, it says they were baptized, both men and women. Okay, so it says they were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, or they came into Jesus, and then they were baptized, both men and women. Verse 13, Simon himself believed and was baptized. And he followed Philip everywhere, astonished by the great signs and miracles he saw. And when the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to Samaria. But you see that, I'm missing a scripture here that is key. So let me just turn there real quick. Acts chapter 12 to 14. Look at verse 15, if you're following. It says, when they arrived, they prayed for them, that they may receive the Holy Spirit. In verse 16, because the Holy Spirit had not yet come upon any of them, they are simply baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. Okay? So they were missing that baptism. Then look at this. Then Peter and John placed their hands on them, and they receive the Holy Spirit. So it is important. The disciples also are used by God to release the Holy Spirit on people. Amen? One more scripture in the book of Acts. Acts 19, 1 through 7. Okay, I'm going to go quickly through this, but I want you to see those three baptisms in place. Are we seeing that? Are we seeing the pattern? Well, Apollos, you know, he was a great teacher, was at Corinth. Paul took the road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus. Then he found some disciples and asked them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? They answered, no. We have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. Okay? It's like, so they were probably received Jesus as the Lord and Savior. They were baptized in water, but they're like, something's missing. Right? So Paul asks, then what baptism did you receive? John's baptism, they reply. That's the baptism of repentance. Paul said, John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. He told the people to believe in the one coming after him, that is in Jesus. On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, okay, into the water. When Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. There were about 12 men in all. Baptized, okay, into Jesus in water and the Holy Spirit, and then the gifts of the Spirit began to manifest. You know what's awesome about that is the Holy Spirit wants to do this. You don't have to beg him. He wants to pour himself out, you know. And we see in, you know, in things Acts chapter 10, when Peter goes to share with Cornelius and his family members and his servants, Peter wasn't even done preaching, and people were already filled with the Spirit. It says that while Peter was talking, people just got filled with the Holy Spirit. And they began to prophesy. And you know what? They hadn't been baptized in water. Sometimes it happens like that. It's like in reverse order. It's like, well, all right, now that you believe, let's go and get baptized in water because you already got filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, it's amazing. Let me give you another account. On the cross, there was a man next to Jesus. All right? And he believed, right? One of them was like, oh, you're not really God. You know, if you were God, get down, get us down from there. But the one that says, hey, stop talking. You know, this man hasn't done anything wrong. You know, says, Lord, just remember me when you get, you know, to your kingdom. He says, I tell the truth because he has faith. This day you will be with me in paradise. So he believed and was saved. But he did not get to go into the water and was not filled with the Holy Spirit. It would have been, I say, hey, can you guys give me a chance to do this? You know, but he didn't get that chance. But think about this. What is the whole purpose of this? Is that we have communion with God. So he died in his body, and he resurrected in paradise with Jesus, free to a new life, in full communion with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. All three right there, all taken care of. Because that's really ultimately the purpose. If God chooses for us to stay here, it's because he still has a job for us to do. And everyone in this room has a specific purpose in the kingdom of God. Amen? Some of you are like, not me. Yes, you. That's the one I'm talking to. You're the very first one that needs to get this. The one that thinks, I don't know about me. You don't know me. I'm telling you, this is the kind that God loves to use. The people that are like, man, I've had such a messed up life. You know, I'm not smart. I don't know how to talk in front of people. I don't do anything right. Man, once the Holy Spirit gets a hold of you, he empowers you, and you can do amazing things for God. Amen? He just fills you with an overwhelming sense of love and mercy for people. And people just see it on you. Man, you're such love in that guy. So just love in that person. All right, let's get to the Old Testament, because I got to move along. Time is coming. Okay, so Hebrews 10, 1. Now, what happens in the New Testament was foreshadowed in the Old Testament. We had talked a few weeks ago about imagery and metaphors and how it speaks to us in ways that we can understand. Well, he used the history of Israel to teach us spiritual principles, right, in the New Testament type of church. So Hebrews 10, 1 says, the law is only a shadow of the good things that are coming. All right? So that's just the preamble to what I'm going to show you. First of all, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 and 2. For I do not want you to be ignorant of the fact, brothers and sisters, that our ancestors were all under the cloud and that they all passed through the sea. Okay, now I want you to get your spiritual eyes on as I read this next verse. They were all baptized into Moses. What is Moses? A type of Jesus, right? The deliverer, the savior. In the cloud and in the sea. So these are kind of in reverse order, right? In the cloud means the Spirit. Because if you remember when they were in the desert, he says that he would lead them through a cloud, right, that would give them shade during the day. And at night, it was a pillar of fire. And guess what? They would set up the whole camp, you know, the tabernacle and all the pitched all their tents. And they would stay there until that cloud lifted and said, move. So it could have been a day, could have been weeks. I mean, they got really good at packing up. All right, guys, let's go. You know, it's just time to move to the next place. And that's what I'm talking about. It's a type, it's a foreshadowing of that turn-by-turn type of life. When the Holy Spirit says move. On the day-to-day, you know, they were just living according to wisdom, good wisdom, right? But then one day the Holy Spirit said, no, I got something special for you to do. Time to move on out. Are you guys getting this? So we have the three right there. Baptism to Moses, which is Jesus, in the cloud, which is the Spirit, and in the sea. Because what happened at the sea? There was a Pharaoh and his troops that were chasing down the Israelites, trying to get them back. Hey, hold on. And sometimes we'll feel like that. We're our old life is chasing us. And we're like, how do we get rid of this old life? And we're, you know, we got like bondage and sins and addictions and hang-ups. And then all of a sudden, we get baptized, and something happens, and that old life, you know, goes to the bottom of the Red Sea, goes to the bottom of the water, and the what comes out is the free, totally free Israel, the totally free you. Are you getting this? Come on. Verse 6, now these things occurred as examples to keep us from sinning our hearts on evil things they did. So we already read the three. So now let's jump to Exodus chapter 25, verses 8 and 9. So he also gave them a tabernacle, right, to worship. That's a tent and with an atrium, and we're going to talk about it in a second. It says, then have them make a sanctuary for me, and I will dwell among them. Make this tabernacle and all its furnishings, look at this, exactly like the pattern I will show you. Why was God so adamant that it be done exactly? Because it was an expression of heaven. God wants us to be an expression of Him and an expression of heaven. So that's why He has a specific pattern for us to do things in. He wants us to do it, you know, by being baptized into Jesus, by being baptized in water, and by being baptized in the Holy Spirit or with the Holy Spirit. Amen? So now let's look at the tabernacle. Because you're not going to understand my 2D diagram, I wanted to show you this picture first. This is kind of what it looked like. When you walked in to this, you know, into the outer courts, you had this brazen altar, an altar made of bronze, okay? And they would do the sacrifices there. And then behind it, you had a laver, a bronze laver, and that's where they would be washed, okay? Bronze, which also means judgment, all right? So the brazen altar represents the cross. Okay, let's go to the next slide so you can see this from a 2D perspective. So they would come in, and I have this backwards because now it should be east to west, but it's west to east. So, all right, okay. So I hope you guys understand what I'm saying. Anyway, brazen altar, that's the cross. You first have to come in through salvation. You bring animals that would have to die for atonement of your sins. And then they have to get washed. And let me say something else. The Bible says that we're a kingdom of priests. Another version says we're kings and priests. But we're all priests. And so in order to consecrate a priest, they have to go to a very intense process. They have to go and kill a number of animals. They have to go through, you know, the washing. You know, they have to, you know, wash thoroughly. And then they would put on this very special clothes that represents righteousness, right? And then they would be anointed. It says, all the sons of Aaron. It says they have to be anointed in the ear, and the thumb, and the right big toe. But it says that the high priest, like Aaron, when he was anointed, it was like, look. I mean, he was just smothered with the oil. And oil, when we say anointing, we're talking about the Holy Spirit. Okay? So you've seen the imagery that God put there so we would understand the spiritual concepts in the New Testament? Are you guys seeing that? So they have to go through all three to get through all the way to the Holy of Holies, which is the presence of God, which is ultimately where we want to be. You have to do it the right way. You have to go through the cross for salvation. You have to go through baptism, which is the laver. And you have to go through the anointing of oil. Are we seeing this? This is important that you get this. You need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. All right? Without holiness, no one can see God. But Jesus is our righteousness and our holiness. Amen? He paid for it all. You don't have to do it yourself. It's already been done. You just have to accept it and say, God, I'm just hungry for you. Whatever you have for me, I want it. Okay? So some of you, you know, you haven't even gotten to the first step. You haven't given your life. The old you needs to die. You need to say, God, Jesus, I understand that you died on the cross for me. I want your life from now on. You want to be baptized into Jesus. You want to receive him as your Lord and Savior. Some of you, you got stuck there. And you need to be baptized in water. You need to be baptized in water. It's important. And then some of you, you have a cleansed vessel, but you haven't moved on. And you're wondering when you're faltering. It's like your life has no power. It's like something's missing. You need the fuel, the dynamis, the dunamis, you know, power of God. And that's the Holy Spirit. Amen? Now, then there's beyond that. This is extra credit right here, okay? All right? You've graduated, but now the extra credit. Once you do that, God just makes your vessel larger and larger and larger. Remember my balloons thing? I think it's so funny. My daughter brought me a balloon this morning. I didn't know why I was going to use it today, but right? But, you know, when you get saved, you get a balloon. You get a vessel. Okay, then God cleanses your vessel. But then when the Holy Spirit fills you, wow, this one even has a hole. It's like, it's alive, wears us down. But you know, the longer you're exposed to God's presence and the Holy Spirit, he begins to and just make your vessel larger and larger. You begin to see greater realities and move in greater faith. And you know, God begins to lead you in turn-by-turn type of, you know, lifestyle that I was talking about. Are you guys understanding what I'm saying? So everybody is in here. We're all in here somewhere. Maybe you're like, hey, I've already been filled with the Holy Spirit, but I've been, you know, I'm not living in the overflow. God wants us to live in the overflow. Okay, it just spills out of it. Have you ever been someplace in your life, you just start talking about Jesus, you're like, man, that just came out of me. I didn't have to force anything. It's just, I'm just talking about Jesus, and you're loving on people, and that's the way it's supposed to be. I mean, yeah, we do it out of obedience, but it's so much better when we do it out of the overflow. It's just like, I'm so full of God, I can't wait to tell somebody about Jesus. All right. That is it.